Even the wind now held its breath. A hush of anticipation swept through the trees, causing forest creatures to hesitate in their scratchings and birds to falter in their songs. The woods grew still, as everything was pressed under a deep, vast silence. It came from the east, from the mountain wilderness of Denelan. It was like a swelling of the air, a flexing of the ground, as if some enormous power had been hurled into the earth hundreds of miles away, sending tremors throughout the land. Directly over a country lane, a young squirrel was clamped to the limb of an ancient walnut tree. Tawny hair all over its body now rose and quivered as the moss began to prickle underfoot. The deep, shuddering stillness flowed through the woods. In and amongst the trees, fur and feather trembled in a vice grip. The squirrel may have lacked the words for what stole into its mind, but in the same way that it knew the terror of jackal teeth and the lure of high branches, a vague yet frightening awareness was taking shape. Somewhere, many miles distant, something was stirring, changing, awakening. Then the feeling passed as swiftly as it had arrived, and the squirrel released its breath and looked around. It lifted a paw and examined the mossy bark, sniffed, and turned quick eyes to the ground, to the leaves, to the sky, all in vain. As before, there were no answers to be found. It was the second time since winter that this alarming thrill had surged through the air, departing without a trace. But something else now caused little eyes to dart and ears to twitch. Something quite different. The leaves strewn across the forest lane were beginning to quake and shiver. Several pigeons that had been huddling on the ground burst away in all directions with a wild clapping of wings. For the squirrel, this was warning enough. It fled across the branch, disappearing up the walnut trunk and into a knot hole, as if drawn by a string. Before it had a chance to push its head out, a horse and rider hurtled around the bend, apparently unaware of the recent quieting of their surrounds. Hooves slipped on the moist surface, flinging up dark clods, but there was no slowing of pace. Wide eyes and foamy flecks suggested that the pace had not slackened for many miles. The tall rider's green military coat whipped and snapped around him as he leaned forward in the stirrups, head close to the horse's plunging neck. In his fists, crushed against the reins, was a rolled sheet of paper. The speed, the foam, the clutched paper. Anyone he passed by would have instantly read the look on his face. "Please let me not be too late." A few miles up the road was the farm of Badger Fields. It held tumbling meadows, working their way upwards in the early sun, sheep and cattle working away at the meadows, and an assortment of labourers who were engaged in something that did not resemble work at all. Ploughmen, whose harrows lay discarded in the fresh new earth, were balancing on a fence for a clearer view. They were placing bets, grinning. On the far side of the river, a cart loaded with deadwood creaked to a halt. The driver scrambled onto the heap of timber, where he peered out over a lush green pastureland, chuckled to himself, and dug his boots into the woodpile until he had a steady footing. This was something he was not going to miss. All around, farmhands dropped their tools, and even the long grass, silvered and heavy with dew, caught the mood and leaned forward. Everyone's eyes were fixed on an old stone bridge over the Brockle River. The walkway was narrow, the stones doubtful, the walls slippery, and there was a lot of air underneath. To the farm's adventure hunter, who would give his name as Aidan and his age as almost 13, though he had only recently turned 12. It was irresistible. It wasn't just the lure of danger, but something it afforded that was far closer to his heart. Friendship. Under a scruffy head and smudged face, there was no missing the eager young eyes that were bright with hope for the morning's project. Adventures, he had discovered, became cold and lonely things if he couldn't, at some stage, get friends to share them. And friends, even old friends, were never quite on the level of companions until they shared his adventures. Whether or not the friends actually wanted to share them tended to have little effect on the outcome. Aidan had become an expert in coaxing and nudging, and perhaps one or two of those nudges might have been misunderstood as shoves, but they had been given with the best intentions. Everyone was always glad afterwards. Mostly.